Al-Bayan Radio presents a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi
presented by Farhan bin Rafi' Ahmed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah na'hamdu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihi Allah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil falan tajida lahu waliyan murshida. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for Him. And he whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for Him except through the will and permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We are now on the 17th lesson of our lessons in the 42 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And today, ولله الحمد, we are going to cross a little bit of a milestone for anyone who's following on with the lessons. We are almost a quarter of the book. Now, today from this hadith, insha'Allah, we are now on hadith number 10, walillahi alhamd. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us. I know it's been, with the circumstances, it does feel both short and both very long. Subhanallah, 17 weeks we have been doing this, and walillahi alhamd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rewarded us by being able to finish 9 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and today we will finish bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala the 10th hadith of the 42 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi. We'll start with the Arabic bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيها الناس إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من الطيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك رواه مسلم. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah states on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. He does not accept but that which is pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers with what He commanded the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, O messengers, eat from what is good and lawful, and work righteously. Work righteously. Indeed, I, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what you do, am knowing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who have believed, eat from the good things which we have provided for you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the man who travels for a long period of time, disheveled and dusty, who stretches out his hands to the sky saying, O Lord, O Lord, whilst his food is unlawful, his drink is unlawful, his clothing was unlawful, and he is nourished with the unlawful things. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concludes and says, So how can he be answered, collected by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Alhamdulillah, we have already covered the narrator of this hadith in lesson number 15. Lesson number 15, we covered shortly the biography of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, while covering some of the virtues of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, and a little bit of his story. Walillahil hamd. So whoever hasn't completed that lesson, inshallah, they can benefit from lesson number 15. Or whoever needs to revise, inshallah, they can go over that. So alhamdulillah, we can go straight into the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi says in the commentary of this hadith, because this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, and Imam Nawawi, as we know, as we covered in the first lesson, Imam Nawawi covered the explanation of Sahih Muslim completely in his famous work Al-Minhaj fi Sharh Sahih Muslim min Hajjaj. In his commentary of Sahih Muslim, in this hadith which is found in Muslim, he, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, says that this hadith is one of the foundational, integral ahadith of Islam. It is one of the foundational principles, a hadith of Islam, that rulings are built on. And then he mentions, in this hadith, he says, rahmatullah alayh, in this hadith is an urge for one to be nourished and use only from that which is permissible, and the prohibition to use other than that which is permissible. And he mentions also that this hadith urges that all drinks, foods and clothing needs to be strictly lawful and have no doubt in it. And subhanallah, he mentions other benefits of this hadith. But basically, he and other scholars have mentioned that this is one of the most important ahadith, and a lot of things are built upon this hadith. And so inshallah, we'll start with the first wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayyuhan nas, inna Allah tayyibun, la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib. Inshallah, we'll delve into this. What does this mean? Inshallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he does not accept but that which is tayyib. So now, we have to understand what is tayyib. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept anything except that which is tayyib. For upon us now is to understand what this means, so that we can make sure that our actions are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, Qadi Iyad rahmatullah alayh mentions initially, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah is tayyib, he says, الطيب في صفة الله تعالى بمعنى المنزه عن النقائص وهو بمعنى القدوس. قاضي عياض رحمة الله عليه, as mentioned by Imam An-Nawawi رحمه الله and other scholars when mentioning this hadith, he says الطيب in reference to the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the one who is pure from any imperfections, the one who is free from any fault, يعني the one who is perfect. And then he says, it is from the same meaning of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quddus, the most sacred, the most holy. يعني الطيب, when we're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who is free from any fault, who is free from any imperfection. His speech is the best of speech. His actions are the best of actions. His names are the best of names, and his characteristics are the best of characteristics. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ وَتَقَدَّسَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُ. Due to this complete perfection, he, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, deserves all worship. And he deserves that we reject anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And due to this perfection, subhanallah, we turn to him and no one else. Due to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because he is pure, then he only says that he accepts only that which is pure. as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is pure. لا يقبل إلا طيبة. He is not pleased except by that which is pure. He loves that which is pure. The scholars mention many, many lessons, subhanAllah, at this point when explaining the hadith. And inshallah we'll go through a few, but للأسف الشديد, as we know, that this is just a short explanation of the 42 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi. But the scholars mention, and inshallah we'll go through a few, but the first thing is that when you perform an obligatory action, there are three possible outcomes. There are three possibilities when you do any action. The first possibility is that when you perform the action is tayyib, it's pure. You tick all the boxes of the actual worship. You have khushu', the right intention. You fulfill all of the obligations. For over here, you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acceptance of your worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your worship, and not only accepts it, He rewards you for your action. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts when you come with something that is tayyib, when something is pure, when it ticks all the boxes, when it fills all the obligations, when you come in the right manner. Then over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. And the obligation of this worship now has been lifted off your shoulders. Mathalan, you pray dhuhr, and you come with a good dhuhr, and you come with a dhuhr that, يعني, you fill all of the obligations, and you come with khushu', and you fill all of the boxes that you need to fill. For over here, you get rewarded for what you did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. And now you don't have to pray dhuhr again for that day. It's lifted off you. The obligation has been lifted. The second outcome, the second possibility, is the opposite. What you come with is khabith. What you come with is corrupted. For over here, مثلاً, your intention is for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Or you come with riya completely, ujb completely. For over here, it's not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake completely. There's nothing in it that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. And not only that, مثلاً, you could have missed obligations in your salah. What's the outcome of this one here? Is because you didn't perform certain obligations and you did not complete it in the best way. You didn't even complete it, aslan. You missed things out in your prayer. Then over here, your action is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the obligation remains. For not now you've done an action that is khabith, that doesn't tick the boxes at all. You're missing obligations. For over here, now what's upon you is that you still have to pray dhuhr. If we're looking at the obligation of this salah, you have to pray it again. And not only that, you weren't rewarded for the first dhuhr that you prayed. You weren't rewarded for it. For the obligation remains, it's rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you haven't been rewarded for it. This is the opposite of the first. The first is if you come with something that is pure, it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get rewarded for it, and the obligation is lifted off you. The second possibility is you come with the opposite, something that's not even complete. You miss wajibat of your salah. Now over here, you have to redo it. You're not rewarded for what you have done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects your action. The third possibility is that you do it in a manner that ticks certain boxes and it doesn't tick other boxes. So you come with the obligations, مثلاً, but مثلاً, you have not an ounce of khushu' in your salah. For over here, you have fulfilled the obligation because مثلاً, you did all of the steps that you needed to do. However, you have come with part of it not there, مثلاً, the khushu'. It hasn't been done in the most perfect manner. It hasn't been done in the best of ways. For over here, what's the outcome of this? The obligation has been lifted off your shoulders. You don't have to pray dhuhr again if you don't have khushu'. مثلاً, someone comes in and prays dhuhr. Allahu Akbar, and then salamu alaykum. He does not know what happened. He can't remember what has gone on. Not an ounce of khushu'. His mind is somewhere else. But he's done all of the steps of prayer. He's done all of the wajibat of the prayer. For over here, he hasn't come with the prayer in the best manner. And so the obligation of this salah has been lifted off his shoulders. He doesn't have to pray dhuhr again. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reward him for the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here will not reward him for the prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't punish him for not praying because he came with the prayer. For over here, it's like 50-50. You're not being punished and you're not being rewarded. However, if you didn't pray, you would have been punished. For at least you're saving yourself from being punished and you're lifting the obligation off your back. And subhanallah, this is the explanation of the famous hadith of Safiyyah عن بعد أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أتى عرافا فسأله عن شيء لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة. This is the explanation of the famous hadith that we all have heard, inshallah, in Sahih Muslim, that Safiyyah رضي الله عنها asked some of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that she took from some of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever goes to a arraf, a fortune teller, whoever goes to a fortune teller and asks him about anything, regardless of what it is, he goes to a fortune teller and asks him, and this is one of the dangers of doing this action, and asks a fortune teller for anything, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, his prayers will not be accepted for 40 days. For 40 nights. His prayers will not be accepted for 40 nights. The scholars, يعني, when mentioning this hadith, they say that the person still has to pray. The person still has to pray. However, he won't be rewarded for his prayer. He won't be rewarded for the prayer that he's doing. And subhanallah, they mention that if he misses the prayer in these 40 nights, then he will be punished for not praying. Even though that if he did pray, in this case of this person who goes to a fortune teller, he won't be rewarded for it. But if he misses it, then he'll be punished for the prayer that he's missed. And this is from the dangers of going to a fortune teller. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. But this goes back to the understanding that you can have certain times where your action is accepted in the sense where you don't have to do it again. You don't have to perform the prayer again. The obligation has been lifted off you and you won't be punished for not praying. However, there are times where even if you pray, but you don't have the right state of mind, you could not be rewarded for that prayer. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. The scholars also mention when mentioning this hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not accept only that which is pure. He only accepts but which is pure. Subhanallah. لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only that which is pure. Subhanallah, the scholars mention, is this only to specific actions or is this broad? Is this only to specific actions or is it broader? Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says that this is not specific to charity. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept any action except that which is pure from deficiencies like riya, showing off, ujb, being vain, being self-amazed at one's own actions. And then he mentions it covers wealth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept wealth that is not pure. Then Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says that purity, subhanallah, it covers actions, statements, and creeds. And that each of these things can be categorized either by being pure or being corrupted. فالله سبحانه وتعالى says in سورة مائدة: قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ma'idah verse 100, say, O Muhammad, that the corrupt and the pure are not equal. The corrupt and the pure are not equal. Even if the corrupt is in abundance, do not be amazed by it. Do not be amazed by it. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says that this verse specifically covers all things. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept actions, statements or creeds except if it is pure. And then if we look at certain examples, I wish we could go through the adilla, the statements in the Quran and the Sunnah that prove this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has classified actions, statements and creeds as being either pure or being corrupted, but we'll go through in slight detail, insha'Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, verse 24, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents an example of a good word to be like a good tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, verse 26, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ, that the example of a corrupt word is to be like that of a corrupted tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, verse 10, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and unto him, unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascends the pure speech, and righteous actions raises it. For these verses covers that statements and actions, that they are also what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be pure, and he does not accept from the statements and the actions, except that which is pure. As for creed, and this is a very, very big topic, subhanal khaliq, but just very, very basic, very, very generally, we know from the hadith of the saved sect, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the saved sect, Firqatun Najiyah, who are they? And this is what the companions asked: who are those who are saved from the torment of the hellfire? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ما أنا عليه وأصحابي, what I am on and what my companions are on, that is the saved sect, and that is what is pure. Anything other than that, which is found in the Quran and the Sunnah in accordance to the understanding of our Salaf, the companions, the Tabi'een, the Atba' and those who followed in their way, anything that doesn't fall along this methodology, then it is corrupt. But anything that is in line with this is pure. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept, as mentioned to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all of the other sects are in the hellfire except one. And then the companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, who are they? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what I am on and what my companions are on. Fa inshallah, this is just very basically some of the evidences to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept only that which is pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which is pure when it covers all of these things. It's not something that's only specific to sadaqah, to charity. No, it covers all of these things. It covers actions, statements, and creeds. Wallahu a'lam. The next issue that always comes up is the issue of haram wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept haram, corrupt wealth, wealth that is gathered in haram ways through riba, prostitution, drugs, stealing, and other haram, regardless of what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts that which was gathered lawfully. For the question always comes, what does a person do with haram wealth after he has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? What does he do? How does he get rid of it? How does he make it correct? Is there a way? The scholars mention that first and foremost, he has to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Then secondly, the money that is the rights of other people, if he has money with him that he has stolen or taken by people through means of bribery or whatever it may be, if he has the rights of other people with him, then he has to return this money to their rightful owners. And that this is their right upon him. It's not between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it's a sin that he has to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, but they still have a right on him also. So he has to return the money to them. The second type of money that could be gathered is through profits, مثلاً, through riba. So the scholars mention that this money has to be gotten rid of. This money has to be gotten rid of. And there's obviously, if you look in our traditions, subhanAllah, there are some scholars who are very staunch on these issues of making sure that your money is halal. Some of them even said to go and just throw it in the ocean. Just get rid of it. Takhallus. Just get rid of this money. But other scholars say that no, that is not the best way to get rid of it, because it is squandering money, and we're not meant to squander money. We're not meant to waste money so that no one benefits. For the scholars mention is that he is to give it away. He is to give it away in a manner where it's not classified as charity. However, he can give it to charitable organizations, but he will not be rewarded for charity. Because you can't do, as this hadith is saying, Allah only accepts that which is pure. This money isn't pure. For what does the person have to do? He has to get rid of it. For the way that he gets rid of it is to give it to those in need, but with the intention that it's not sadaqah. It's not a charity. It's takhallus min. It's getting rid of this money. And inshallah, he will be rewarded for getting rid of it. But he won't get the reward of charity. Wallahu a'lam. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning the importance of halal and haram and the implications that this has on worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, O messengers, eat from what is good and lawful and work righteously. Indeed, I of what you do am knowing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, eat from the good things which we have provided for you. Subhanallah, this is, these two verses are very, very important for us to understand. And that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you are also commanded what I am commanded with. Right? Because over here it says, Ya ayyuhar rusul, O messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat. Right? So, O messengers, eat from the good. Eat from the good. Wa'malu saliha. And perform good deeds. For over here, it shows us the importance of eating halal. Making sure what you are ingesting, what you are taking inside of your body, is lawful. To prove this, to further this point, Abu Abdullah As-Saji As-Zahid, he states, as mentioned in Hilyat al-Awliya, that there are five characteristics on which actions are completed by in. And he mentions the first, al-imanu bima'rifati Allah azza wa jal. The first characteristic on which actions are completed by is first and foremost faith, by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is wa ma'rifatu al-haq, and knowing the truth. And the third, wa ikhlasu al-amal lillah, and sincerity in actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. The fourth, wal 'amalu 'ala sunnah, and to perform actions in accordance to the prophetic method, the prophetic methodology, the prophetic way. And then the fifth, and subhanAllah, he says, وأكل الحلال and eating from that which is lawful. He, Abu Abdullah Saji, then says, فَإِن فُقِدَتْ وَاحِدَةٌ لَمْ يَرْتَفِعُ الْعَمَلِ, that if one of these characteristics is missing, then the actions will not be raised. يعني, they won't be accepted. And subhanAllah, these five يعني, things are very, very important to do things for the sake of Allah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know the truth, to do things for the sake of for Allah, to do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, to do things in accordance to the sunnah. And the last one, subhanAllah, is what this hadith is focusing on, and these ayat are focusing on, is eating that which is halal. And subhanAllah, this is something that we really, as a Muslim community, يعني, as يعني, broadly speaking, have neglected. يعني, there are issues that we take very lightly. And this is one of those things that we have to be meticulous with. يعني, issues with cross-contamination, issues with slaughter, issues with Ahl Kitab, just general issues that we have to be more and more aware of, and have to take it much, much more stringently. And we'll find out يعني, the dangers of this in the rest of the hadith, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he mentions the man who is a traveler for a long period of time, disheveled, dusty, who stretches out his hands to the sky saying, O Lord, O Lord, whilst his food was unlawful, his drink is unlawful, his clothing is unlawful, and he's nourished with the unlawful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how can he be answered? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Over here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some of the etiquettes of dua, some of the reasons dua is accepted, and some of the reasons why dua is also rejected, subhanAllah. The first of the reasons that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions as a reason for dua being accepted is travel. يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ. He not only is a traveler, he prolongs his travel, but we know the virtues of the dua of the one who travels. We know in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is found in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and Sunan al-Tirmidhi, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, ثلاث دعوات مستجابات لا شك فيهن, that there are three supplications that are guaranteed to be answered. There is no doubt about it. SubhanAllah. There are three types of dua that are guaranteed to be answered, with no doubt that it will be answered. What are they? Da'watul walid, the supplication of a father. Wa da'watul musafir, and the supplication of a traveler. Wa da'watul mazloom, supplication of the oppressed. And this, subhanAllah, if we look at this hadith, because this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions in the sharh of this hadith that this person is not just a traveler. يعني, we know over here, Abu Hurairah narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the dua of a traveler is accepted. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions in this hadith that we're taking in the 42 hadith, he says he's not just a traveler, not just any traveler. He's a traveler for a long period of time, and he's a traveler who's in pursuit of worship. A traveler who's in pursuit of worship, يعني a worship, a travel like Hajj, or a prescribed visit, or a prescribed travel, يعني to any of the Haramain, and Masjid al-Aqsa, right? And he also mentions, يعني, it could be travel for mending ties of kinship, يعني things that are very virtuous and noble. And so, يعني, not just a traveler, for it's a traveler for a long period of time, traveling in the pursuit of worship. يعني, this is closer for him being in a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close in this sense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he wants from you when you're making dua. يعني, you're in a time of need, desperation, And this is especially the case when you're going to a foreign land, subhanAllah. And then the next characteristic that Rasulullah SAW says, Ash'ath Akhbar, that he is disheveled and dusty. Yani he's unkept, his hair, his clothing, his appearance. It's unkept, showing his desperation, that he has no pride, no arrogance, completely in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as found in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرْ مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهِ. SubhanAllah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, many are persons who are unkept and dusty, يعني from the poor and the travelers, are driven away from the doors, يعني because he's poor and his appearance is not that great. It's shabby clothing. If he were, Rasulullah says, if this type of person, this person in poverty and desperation, if he were to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني if something, say that something was to occur, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly make it happen. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, when mentioning this hadith, when this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, when he goes to explain it, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this as a favor to this person because of his desperation and need. Ikraman lah, a favor upon him, subhanallah. For this is a quality, again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us two things. He's telling us that these are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes when you do dua. Someone who's traveling, someone who's yani unkept, يعني like the hujjaj, they're not allowed to do certain actions, no perfumes, no certain, يعني in certain times when they're in ihram, they aren't allowed to cut their hair. For this is a type where you're showing your humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're free from pride and arrogance, and that you're doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You're showing your desperation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is two things. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says again another thing that he's teaching us. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ, that he raises his hand to the sky, calling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Lord, O Lord. And we know that this is another characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, as found in Sunan Abi Dawood. عن سلمان الفارسي رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن ربكم تبارك وتعالى حيي كريم يستحي من عبده إذا رفع يديه إلى أن إليه أن يردهما صفرا. سبحان الله. سلمان الفارسي رضي الله عنه narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that your Lord, indeed your Lord, is magnificent and generous, and he is ashamed from his slave to turn him away empty-handed after he has raised his hands onto him. And he raised his hands, calling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and he doesn't want to turn you away empty-handed. For we know that this is another way that our dua is accepted. But then, and after mentioning all of these things that is supposed to, it's like a guaranteed dua. This, whatever he asked for, is supposed to be, and theoretically speaking, it's supposed to be accepted, right? يعني he's coming in with not just one thing that accepts dua. No, he's coming in with multiple things. For it's emphasis that even if you were doing everything right, multiple things right, there is still a chance for your things to be rejected. This is يعني almost a warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because then he says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ, his food is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ, his drink is haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ, his clothing is haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ, and he has been nourished by the haram. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ, how is he supposed to be responded? How? SubhanAllah, this is from the dangers of unlawful provisions. And this, again, we mentioned this in one of the earlier classes, in this class and on the Friday night classes in the Da'wah Da'wah. We mentioned this hadith, and it came up a couple of times, but we mentioned that this isn't specific only to the a'yan, يعني مثلا you're eating pork or you're drinking wine. No, even if you pay for lawful things like beef or apple juice with money that is not lawful, it makes that unlawful, as it is here. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, has been nourished by the haram. يعني how you procured it, how you've made that on your plate, how you've paid for it. What have you done to get it? If you stole a steak, it's يعني doesn't help. It doesn't help that it's halal. Over here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is one of the obstacles that you put in front of you for your dua, from your dua being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the dangers that you have if you don't do, يعني, if you're not sure about what you have inside of you. And يعني, there's a hadith that is da'if, but يعني, it is mentioned by a lot of the scholars, when mentioning the effects of having lawful provisions. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu an was known for having dua that was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was known that his dua was accepted. And he asked one time in this hadith that is very, it has weakness in it. It isn't sahih. But there is another athar after it that has, يعني, it's sound, inshallah. But he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make him from the people whose du'as are accepted. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prescribed for him to make sure that your provisions is halal, and that then if you did that, if you ensured that your provisions was halal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept from you your du'a. And subhanallah, it was said that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu an was known, يعني, amongst the companions. This was one of his virtues, that he was known for his dua always being accepted, subhanallah. And they asked him, how is your dua accepted all the time? What are you doing for your dua to be accepted? And so he says, I haven't put inside of my mouth a single morsel, a single inch of food, يعني, a bite of food, except that I know where it came from, and I know from where it was, يعني, where it was grown, where did it come from. I knew exactly, يعني, how it came to me and where it came from. For he was meticulous in knowing, يعني, how, يعني, if his provisions were halal or not. He was meticulous in finding this out, and this was one of the reasons for his dua to be accepted. That his dua, whatever he would ask for, would be accepted. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. For over here, we learn that sins have an effect on your prayer, on your dua, and on your worship. And subhanallah, يعني, this is just with يعني, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that your provisions and what you ingest, what you take, what you eat, these things have an effect on you and your dua. But dhunub generally, sins generally, can have, يعني, put a partition, a block between you and your actions being accepted and your dua being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sha'ir, there's a famous couplet of poetry in Arabic, subhanallah, that says, نَحْنُ نَدْعُو الْإِلَهَ فِي كُلِّ كَرْبٍ ثُمَّ نَنْسَاهُ عِنْدَ كَشْفِ الْكُرُوبِ. That we call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever disaster hits. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates us from this balwa, from this thing that has happened, from this disaster that has struck us, we forget him after he has raised it off us, after he has accepted our prayer. And then the sha'ir continues, كَيْفَ نَرْجُو إِجَابَةً لِدُعَاءٍ قَدْ سَدَدْنَا تَرِيقَهَا بِالذُّنُوبِ. لَا حَوْلَ لَهُ وَسَلَّ بِاللَّهِ. He says, يعني, this is very famous lines, and Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions it in his sharh of the 50 ahadith, Jami' Ulum al-Hikam. But he says, how do we expect the answering of our prayers when we have blocked the answer, the pathway of the answer, by our sins? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to come constantly closer to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to ensure that our provisions are our halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as and to make our du'as accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to constantly benefit from the works of our salaf. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come closer to his book and to help us come closer to the way of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask you all to forgive me for any of my shortcomings. Remember, whatever is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever mistakes we have made is from me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection and his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakumullahu khayran wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.